I've already been told that you had a good sermon this morning. I didn't expect anything less than that. Today has been quite a day. From the announcements, it's been quite a day for several people. I spoke three times this morning in Smyrna at the congregation where my middle daughter attends. I spoke 20 minutes on faith and then 20 minutes on hope at Bible study and then about 20-25 minutes on love at worship and left before the service was over and drove to Henderson and had a funeral at 2. Got back in time to eat a bite of supper and I'm up here. This has been quite a day. The funeral was for Richard Leith, who was known in that area as the barbecue man. He has been in charge for years. Literally, of the barbecue cooking, the cooking of the whole hogs for the barbecue festival at Henderson. And I was thankful to be able to have his, was thankful to be a part of his funeral, not thankful that his funeral was today, but to be a part of it this afternoon. I want to tell you just a little bit about the church where I preached this morning. My daughter and son-in-law started going there about 5 years ago. It was a small church, about the size we are now when they started. It's grown a little bit. They're up around 70 most of the time now. But they're doing one of the most unusual works that I know of anywhere. Just across the street from the church building are a great many apartment buildings. I could see four or five and maybe, I don't know, 15 or 20 apartments at least in each one of them, maybe 30. And most of the people that live in those apartments are from a country, I believe it's called Burma. And there are just dozens of children in those apartments. And they started about 4 or 5 years ago going and inviting those children to come for a class. And my daughter has been one of the basic teachers in that class. Sometimes they'll have 25 or 30 children. And they, as they began, know nothing about the Bible. They know nothing about Christ. They're teaching those children in that class. Many of the times, the children don't stay for the worship service, but they're coming to class on Sunday morning and Wednesday night. This morning, there were two young ladies sitting at the back for the worship service that I saw as children 4 or 5 years ago. It's amazing what can be accomplished, and I don't think anybody knows how much they are accomplishing. You just think about 30, 40 children and teaching them a class on Sunday morning and Wednesday night. And you know, we talk about mission work sometimes, it's right at our door. And this is a case where it's exactly that. And they are doing a good job in teaching those children. And I just wanted to share that with you. I have emphasized to you that my meeting work, in my opinion, is one of the bigger parts of our mission work. And I will not be gone next year as much as I have this year. There's an article in the bulletin explaining how many times I've been gone this year. But folks, we are affecting numbers of congregations, and most of these are smaller churches. And Isaac had his first meeting this year and has gone several times on youth days and has spoken at some other places. And I think the congregation here is to be commended for what you are doing and allowing me to be gone as much as I am and Isaac when he needs to be. And the fact that he is here, I don't worry about there being a sermon that's worthwhile in the pulpit when I'm gone. In fact, if it were not true that he probably is going to be sought out for full-time work somewhere else, I'd be concerned about my job. But I think because of that, I am maybe safe. I don't know. I'm not going to brag yet. I appreciate what everybody's done here. You know, the church started here, was it 98? 98. That's just 16 years ago. And I don't think we realize how many people have been affected. And Jerry's with us tonight. Jerry filled this pulpit for a long time. I jokingly introduced him back there tonight to Barry Sutton. I said, Jerry preached here back in the 1800s. But it really wasn't that far back. But I appreciate what everybody has done in a positive way to bring us to where we are. We're not a big group, but we've got a wonderful group of people here. The last few days, we've had a lot of people sick. In fact, I don't know whether you realize it or not, but we had a service Wednesday night that we've not had one like since I've been here. There was not a bush in the service. Katie, of course, is from the bush tree. That sounds good, doesn't it, bush tree? But all the bushes were sick or out of town. And we did prove, though, Denny, that we can have a service without a bush. But we're glad to have all of you, and I just wanted to say a few words. I finished last week the series of lessons on clouds. We had 16 of them. I want to bring three lessons tonight and the next two Sunday nights, especially emphasizing the concept of home. We sometimes take our homes for granted, whether it's the physical home that we have or the church home that we have, or even talking about the eternal home that we all look forward to going to one of these days. I developed these three lessons as a result of being asked to speak at a homecoming. I want to talk tonight about the subject of coming home. Next week, the subject of being home. And the next week, the subject of going home. In Mark, the 5th chapter, verse 18 and 19, when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, and saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. That's one place in the Bible where Jesus made the statement, go home. Go home to your friends. This is not the same type of setting that most of us would have, but it gives us the idea of going home. You remember in Luke 15, in the story of the prodigal son, when he had gone to the depths of sin, living in the mire of sin, literally in the hog pen, the Bible says in verses 17 and 18 that he thought back to the home that he had had before he left. And he said to himself, and probably he hadn't been there for a long time, he said to himself, in my Father's house, there are servants that have more to eat than I do. And he said, I'm going to get up and go home. Coming home is a wonderful idea. Some of you have experienced in the last few days some of your children or grandchildren or others in the family coming home for Thanksgiving. During the next month, most of us will experience that concept in our families. We'll even talk about when different ones are coming home for the holidays. There's something positive about that. There's something good about that. I want to deal with this lesson tonight in four ways. We need to come home for a visit. You remember back at the time described in Luke 1 when Mary was expecting Jesus and Elizabeth, her cousin, was expecting John the Baptist. Mary went to visit with Elizabeth. And as you read that, you see the wonderful ideas that were associated with, in this case, people who were cousins, visiting with each other. I can just imagine what Elizabeth must have thought when she heard that Mary was coming, or when she saw that Mary was coming for a visit. If I know that my children are coming home, I find myself standing at the front door or at the window at the end of the house, see if I can see them on the way. And they say, that if they don't get there on time, that I'll call to see where they are. We enjoy our children and others coming home. I usually visit with my family most of the time in Nashville. All four of my children live in the Nashville area, and it's much cheaper gas-wise for me to go to Nashville and get together with them than it is for four of them to travel to Henderson. Because of that, my children do not come home as much as they might otherwise, and as much as I would like for them to. I've told them lately, if you get an opportunity and you can't stay except for a day, if you can just come in the morning and stay for a while, I want you to come home. My son came by Saturday for a little while, and he and I had been together many times in the last few months, but I told him 2 or 3 weeks ago, I said, I want you to come home. There's some things I want to talk to you about at the house. I want to show you some things at the house. I want you to come home. There's something about coming home that is worth so much. Jesus did not have an earthly home in that he had no place to lay his head, he said. I think the closest thing to a home that he had on this earth was the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. He visited there evidently many times. We have a record of some of these visits. We have a record of the events that happened when Lazarus had died that gives us a little insight to the relationship that all of them had. But can you imagine what Mary and Martha thought of and Lazarus when they knew that Jesus was coming for a visit? That this one who was such a close friend of theirs was coming to their house for a visit? It may very well be that we've lost touch with the importance of this. I remember back when I first started preaching in some of my first local works, how many people visited with one another and people and families came. And there were times when it would not be unusual to have maybe 15 or 20 people in the audience that had, the children had come home on special occasions. And it meant a lot. We may be losing a little bit of that, and it concerns me. We may be caught up with the busy affairs of life to where we don't take time. And another thing that may have contributed to that is that we all have cell phones now and we visit with each other on the hour most of the time and keep up with what's going on. If we need to contact, we call, and that may have affected it. But there is something about going home. I look back now at the times that I went to visit with Dad and Mother. We didn't have water in the house until after I had left home at 18. We didn't have a lot of things, but we had a home. And it was worth so much to go back, even when our children were younger, to take them back to the farm where I grew up. There's something about coming home for a visit. I want you to also think, in the second place, about a new baby being brought home. A little bit over a year ago, Terry, that happened in your family, didn't it? You notice as you drive along the road, a lot of mailboxes will have a blue bow or a pink bow. You know what that means, don't you? There's a new baby in that family. And it's not hard to get people to come to visit if a new baby's coming home. There's just something about that that is worth so much. And maybe we've been talking about it for 9 months or even longer. And now the baby is born, and after a day or two, the baby's coming home. What a wonderful time that is. I've also been associated down through the years with many adoptions. Because I was the minister of the congregation, and I've worked with some rather large congregations, there were adoptions going on, and I would be asked to write letters or to be involved in helping them to make the arrangements for children to be brought home. I remember a family in Clarksville, some of the closest friends I have on earth, adopting 2 children, if I remember right, from Honduras. And the mother-to-be went over there and stayed for several weeks to get acquainted with these children. One of them was a baby and one just very young. And I remember being with that family and associated with that family and would keep in touch with them, and they'd say, they're coming home in a week, or they're coming home in 2 days. They'd never seen those children. Those children were not connected with them as far as inheriting genes, and yet they were adopting them and bringing them into the family, and they just couldn't wait for them to come home. And when it happened, neighbors came in, neighbors wanted to see them. Everybody was so happy about somebody coming home. I've also been involved down through the years with some families where a child had left home, basically run away, or at least because of arguments or difficulties had left and had not been home for a long time. I've had an opportunity more than once to serve as a go-between and to make contact with people and help work out some of these things. And when there is that reunion in a family where one has been gone for a long time, that's one of the happiest occasions you can find. I've also been, and I'm sure some of you have been, present when one in the family has been in the armed forces and maybe been overseas for a year. And he comes home. I've seen on television, and you have too, some of these unusual events that they plan. One that caught my attention back last year, I think it was, that this little girl's dad had been gone for almost a year, and when he came back, he arranged to be dressed up as Santa Claus and to be sitting where the children would be going. And when she sat down on his lap, it was her dad. And I've seen some of the shows, the shown on news, where they'd arrange at a certain school where this man's children went to school, and he would just happen in at the assembly. And to see that look on that child's face when they recognize that that's dad that they haven't seen in a long time, it's just one of the happiest occasions that you could have. And so coming home is worth so much, even when someone has been gone and is coming back to home. There's something about home. My dad never traveled very much, at least not very far from home. And I don't know how many times I heard him say, and I didn't appreciate it as much then as I do now, I'd rather be home than anywhere. And many times he'd say, if I can just get home by dark, everything will be okay. Folks, there's something about home that is worth so much, and we need to recognize that. But I want to go back and look at these points from another angle tonight, and that's from the spiritual family or the spiritual home. We need to recognize that the church is God's family. The whole church is the big family. And each congregation of God's people is a family in and of itself. That's the way God wants it to be, and that's the way it should be. And even though we are not tied together and related in the flesh, we're related in the church in a way that's even more important than that. I enjoy people coming back to worship with us here who formerly worshiped here and have left and gone somewhere else. I enjoy when some of your children come back to worship with us and to be a part of God's family here. Maybe they were here a few years ago and they've been gone now, and they come back and they worship with us. I don't get to visit much with other congregations because I'm in the pulpit most of the time, but I enjoy going back to my home congregation. I grew up in a little community. There was no denomination in the community. Everybody in the community went to church. The little church there now is very small. They probably have had about 18 people today, somewhere between 15 and 20. The church building sits just next to where the school sat that I attended for 8 years, in the same yard, maybe not as far apart as from here to the other end of this building. A while back, I was driving up that way and had an opportunity to go by the church building. There wasn't another person in sight. I just drove up and parked in the lot. And I sat there for a long time. and let my mind wander over those hills where I had a stick automobile. I don't know whether you ever did it or not, but we'd take a box elder limb and cut it so that we had an antenna and we had a gas feed and we had a brake. And I drove one of those things over those hills. It's untelling how many miles. We even played sheriff and robbers. And we had a jail up there. And that was just up on the hill a little bit back where I was sitting. I looked across the little branch and I saw a slope over there where we used to make slides. We'd take a board and then put a little piece across it where we could put our feet. And on mornings where the ground was frozen and there was a frost, you could get up there and, man, you could come down that hill. The only problem was the stopping. And sometimes we didn't stop at the right time. And I remember just up the creek where we decided we'd put a little dam across the branch. And I took a hatchet to school that day and cut my finger to where I've got a scar now that comes out down there. I just sat there for probably an hour and reminisced. That was home. I could look up in that direction and see the house where I had was born. Not the house, but the place where I was born. I could look in another direction and see where my grandfather's house was. I could look down the creek just a little bit and see the place where I was baptized in the creek. Just sat there. I was back home. There's something about coming home, the ties that we have there. And that's true even from a religious standpoint. First sermon I ever preached was in that building. 50 years to the day from the day I was baptized, I preached in that building. Now, that building doesn't mean a thing to any of you in the way that it does to me. You have your places like that. A lot of times people enjoy just driving back to the old home place. In many instances, the house may be gone. But driving back there and seeing where it was that we began. I mentioned that I had the funeral this afternoon. This is one of the most unusual things. That man lived 92 years on the same farm, except just maybe a few months that he went somewhere to work for a little while. He was born on that farm. His dad was the barbecue man for 40 years and taught him how to do it. And then I don't know how many years he's been there. He's lived on that farm all of his life. That was his home place. And the church is like that. If I preach all over the world, and I've had an opportunity to preach in a lot of places, there'll never be any place like that little building there on Flynn's Creek in Jackson County, in sight of where I was born and reared, in sight of where I was born into Christ. There's something about coming home, even in the church. Then there's that new baby brought home. Each one of us was a new baby at one time in Christ. As newborn babes in Christ, desire the sincere milk of the Word, 1 Peter 2:2. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God that liveth and abideth forever, 1 Peter 1, verse 22 and 3. And then John 3, the familiar passage, born of water and the Spirit, you must be born again. We've experienced a few people being born into Christ here in our work. Down through the years, I've experienced quite a few in gospel meetings, and you've experienced quite a few in your family and among friends and others. And that's one of those wonderful occasions when someone comes to Christ as a new babe in Christ. We need to appreciate that. We need to let them know that we appreciate it. This is also talked about in the Bible as adoption. In Romans 8, emphasis is placed upon adopted as sons in verse 15. Galatians 4 and verse 5 talks about that. You remember in Acts 9, after Saul of Tarsus had been baptized into Christ and the church was reluctant to accept him, and Barnabas went and told them that he knew what had happened and he knew that he was sincere and he knew that this was something that was worthwhile. There was a new babe in Christ, the one who'd been persecuting the church. Can you imagine the happiness that was there when they all realized that he had truly been converted, that he was truly a new babe in Christ? it's easy over the years to let something like this become happen place and just not think anything about it. Especially in a larger congregation, there may be people being baptized every week. And we tend to, I think, forget how important that is and how that's just as important as that new baby coming home. Accepting someone into Christ, accepting someone that's adopted into Christ. We need to think of the church, the local church, as a family of God. And then what about those that have wandered away? You announced this morning that Quita's aunt had been lost, wandered away. Tonight we announced that she'd been found. Can you imagine the happiness that's in that family? But think about that from the spiritual standpoint. People have been gone for a while, they've not been faithful, and they come back. Are we as excited about that? Do we rejoice as much as we should when someone who's been gone from home comes back home? A lot is said in the Bible about those that are lost and those that are separated from the faithful body of Jesus Christ. A lot is said, particularly in Luke 15, about the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost boy. The different sets of circumstances where one can leave faithfulness to Christ and go away, either in the mire of sin or just negligence or even with the wrong attitude and not using talents in the house, as was the case of the coin. In every one of those three stories in Luke 15, that which was lost was found. And in every one of them, there was rejoicing. And it says there's more rejoicing in heaven over one that's found than over all the ones that haven't gone astray. I'm not for sure, and I'm looking at myself as much as anybody on this, I'm not for sure that we do enough to reach out to those that have gone astray. If one of you were to let it be known tonight that somebody in your family had been lost, especially if it was a child, and you needed all of us to come and help, I think without exception, if we could be there, we'd come. But we don't have that same kind of urgency, I fear, in thinking about those that have been lost from faithfulness to Christ in the church. Those that are lost need to want to come back home like the prodigal son did. But those that are safe and sound and saved in Christ and faithful in Christ also are told to go and bring the lost back, to bring the lost brother back, James 5, 18 and 19, Galatians 6, 1. I'm not for sure sometimes that we emphasize that idea of coming home. Maybe we need to pray about that more and think about it more. And maybe even make contact with some of those who have gone astray, some that we love, maybe some that we know personally, who are not at home really today in their service to God. I think we need to emphasize the home. We need to emphasize the church as the spiritual home. And of course, we need to emphasize heaven as the eternal home. Coming home. Let's pray about it. Let's think about it. Let's enjoy coming home ourselves to our friends and our families. And let's enjoy that attitude in the church. God made the family. He made the home. He made the church, the spiritual home. We need to appreciate both and do everything we can to promote both. If you're not living in a way tonight that you are at home with God and with Christ, we would encourage you to come home. You know, really, as we extend the invitation, that's what we're encouraging people to do, especially those who may be Christians and are not faithful. Come home. We sing songs that say that. Come home. Home is where we need to be, especially in our relationship to God. And if you're not there tonight, come as together we stand and sing.